Hello and welcome, everybody. It's the world famous Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. I'm Ben Rogers, joined by Jeff Skin, Wade, Jonathan Shippy Shipman, and Kevin KT Turner, the pride of only Texas. We are in studio today celebrating a football Friday, celebrating RJ Choppy's birthday. It is just going to be a really, really fun show. Celebrating the release of the new iPhone 11, obviously, which is exciting today. And then celebrating Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys and general manager, joins us today at 10:30.
And it seems like there's a lot of great topics to talk about, not only Cowboys related, but league related as well. And I'm sure Jerry will be ready. He's going to be in a good mood. His team is 2-0. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. So definitely leave it right here, because at 10:30, Jerry will be on and it'll be popping.
Yeah, can't wait. We were just talking about some of the questions that we're going to be asking him, and that in itself could make up an entire segment. I mean, there's just so many fascinating angles, and Jerry always delivers. So I'm sure we'll be getting back into that later in the presentation after the interview at 10:30. So if you missed that, panic not. Also, we want to advise everybody out there and recommend something to you. And that is, you know, since we've changed day parts, we've lost some listeners that can't listen because they're working from 10 to 2. Now, you can always stream, and there's an app, the radio.com app. Those ratings actually still impact us and help us, so we're grateful for that. We'd prefer it if you listen on a radio. That's awesome. We really appreciate that loyal support. But hey, if you're working and you just, you know, you're not in your car, you're not near your radio, by all means, you can stream the show always using the radio.com app, which is free to download on your phone.
And you can also always text into the show at 877-881-1053, the AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text. And this person, Benny, says, radio.com loaded me in right as the theme song was coming in. Really nice experience. So, point being, if wherever you are, because you can't get the radio, you've always got the radio.com app. We always do podcasts and things like that. So, we do appreciate you listening any which way that you can.
All right. So, is the NFL becoming the NBA? You've got players demanding trades, players realizing the leverage and power they have, young players even saying, hey, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. I like the NBA. I like how there's trades. I like how guys can move around a little bit. It just seems like that happens way more often. And now you've got concern about tanking, and yeah, it really impacts the Miami Dolphins, the Cowboys' opponent this week. And so we'll talk to Jerry Jones about that, but this idea that, hey, maybe you need to not reward teams who tank, and maybe you need to have a lottery with ping pong balls and whatnot. So maybe the NFL will become the NBA in that regard. But Josh Rosen is going to get the start now for the Dolphins this Sunday. We'd wondered, like, okay, well, why wasn't he starting to begin with? And there was one thought that was percolating out there that, okay, maybe he wasn't starting because they know how bad they're going to be and they don't want him to be killed.
That's one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is that I think he actually makes them better. And then another aspect of it, Ben, and we talked about this at the beginning of the season. Aikman was hitting on this. Apparently, there was times where Rosen kind of carried a bad attitude around. And so, you know, maybe they didn't want to reward that. But there's a litany of reasons. But I think the other thing at this point is, look, we're going to lose every game. We do have decisions to make. And if Rosen goes out there amidst chaos and shows you something, then that could impact what they do with their 100 draft picks that they've accumulated.
Yeah, no, it absolutely could. And, you know, I do think when you have as many first-round picks over the next 3 years as they do, you could just kind of draft multiple quarterbacks, see if one of them pans out. But the thing that I think is interesting, I do think Josh Rosen provides them a little bit of juice, a little bit of spark, just because it's something different. Mm-hmm. But I do think the change from Rosen to Fitzpatrick will allow the Cowboys' sack totals to go up a little bit. Fitzpatrick's going to get rid of the ball. Like, he's a little more mobile than Rosen. Rosen's kind of a statue back there. And statue's going to kind of hunker down. Rosen is going to hunker down, you know, when pressure's on and eat some sacks.
Yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is just going to sling it up in the air. So I do think the change from Rosen, I do think Rosen's will be a better quarterback. I truly believe that. And I think Rosen can start in this league one day. Maybe not for this offensive line on this rebuilding, maybe NFL worst team of all time. But I do think the sack numbers could go up a little bit more because Fitzpatrick wasn't just going to sit there and eat it. He was going to fling it up there.
Well, I'm concerned by the way you emphasize the fit so weirdly in Fitzpatrick, the way you say that. But I like it at the same time. Everybody knows that I'm one of the greatest Madden franchise GMs in video game history.
I was unaware of that.
You didn't know, and now you know. As I look at the Dolphins, I love your point, Skin, about, hey, figure out what Rosen is. Because you're going to tank this year anyways, and they might eliminate tanking after this to some degree, or they might make it harder to tank and get the number one overall pick. But if you tank this year and you get the number one pick and you already have your franchise quarterback, now you can go trade that number one overall pick and get even more picks.
And to your point, Ben, I also don't know what this offensive line draft is looking like.
It's not great.
Well, then that totally squanders that. But if you do feel like you have your quarterback, now it still makes sense, I think, to draft that quarterback, have competition, and then have the great asset to trade later, or to Ben's point, trade it, really load up for the future. But I always go back to Aikman's 1-15 season.
Mm-hmm.
You learned something about Aikman. Even though the team was horrible and he got destroyed, you felt like, all right, amidst this chaos, this guy has something. Now, we didn't later figure out that he was going to be a Hall of Famer and all that. That you have to get good players around you before you can become a Hall of Famer. You can't be a Hall of Famer by yourself. But there was a feeling that Aikman has something. And the main thing people took out of that was toughness.
Yeah, dude, he would sit in there in the pocket knowing he's going to get hit and would still make the throw.
Make the throw. And, you know, Jimmy wanted to crank it up, so Jimmy brought in Walsh and still, like, stirred the whole pot and all that. But that just really pushed Aikman even further. But my point is, even amidst chaos, you can figure out some things about a quarterback. And What is the point of them rolling Fitzmagic out there?
Just think Rosen's broken, but I don't know if they care. I mean, but just because they didn't give up much to get him. And when you are rebuilding, you're probably looking more at the Tuas and 2 years down the road, Trevor Lawrence. If you're really doing it right, you're going to go get Trevor Lawrence. You're going to take it twice. If you're going to do it, you know, the way that everyone thinks, although the NFL's talked about making changes, at least the competition committee is going to talk about, okay, if they're going to tank.
Okay, this is real interesting, KT. We're going to talk to Jerry about this today.
Okay, good.
But keep in mind that on this day, the NBA Board of Governors is voting to have their tampering laws adjusted. Because you're talking about the NFL becoming the NBA. The two biggest problems in the NBA are tanking and tampering. So we have now in the NFL, the first time we're talking about penalizing for tanking. And what were we talking about a week and a half ago? New England tampering. It's really interesting. Once you have player movement and once you have those sorts of things, how these other problems arise. And the NFL is going to have to deal with this stuff. Hopefully Jerry gives us some rock solid answers here in 22 minutes.
So as we've indicated and continue to, you can text in to be a part of this at any time. The Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 877-881-1053. Somebody texts in and says, hey, I'm kind of glad you guys are on middays now. I used to only listen to the Ben and Skin show when I was driving home from work, and now I get to listen to the whole show while I'm at work. Well, that's fantastic. We love to hear that. I saw somebody else text in, hey, I had said some people can't listen, and he said, you're losing listeners because you guys suck. It was one of those trolls.
Which
we have a lot of trolls, but actually the ratings have never been better. I'm not talking about ratings. I'm talking about we keep bumping into listeners at our Pluckers remotes. By the way, where are we going to be next Thursday?
We are going to be in Grapevine.
Okay.
And that's an abbreviated show, boys, because that's actually a Texas Rangers day game. So get to Pluckers early Thursday.
And so we've had listeners say, hey, I can't listen. It has nothing to do with the ratings. Ratings are fantastic, and we're grateful for that.
They damn sure are, Ben. I saw them.
And they weren't bad before we moved either.
I haven't seen
them yet. So fantastic. Anyways, we love interacting with you, except you trolls can go suck it. But everyone else, we love you. Thanks for texting again. Feel free to be a part of the show.
I love the trolls, too, though. When they're hanging out, they're good.
I love all of these trolls.
They always listen, even though they say they're not listening.
You can't say I love all these trolls anymore.
Oh.
Not allowed to do
that. Are trolls part of Travis's Dungeons & Dragons thing?
Yes.
Hey, Ben, I know you're going somewhere real quick. Can I read this tweet from Field Yates?
Yes.
Nah, I don't want to hear it.
The Dolphins were the only team to place a claim on Taco. The only team. Says some teams were deterred by the $3 million he's due over the next two seasons, but because Miami sucks so bad and has so much cap space, they viewed it as a worthwhile investment. I'm kidding. That's not what Field tweeted. But he basically said because Miami has cap space and is kind of going nowhere. They're like, oh, we'll pay $3 million for Taco.
All right, so Skin, now that the Cowboys are 47-point favorites in this game.
It's gone up that much?
I'm not sure.
No. Still taking the over.
I haven't checked it.
Oh, man.
Are you worried at all that, okay, now Miami has the secret plans because Taco's going to tell him everything? He's a Dolphin now.
The best way to get insight as to what the other team is doing is to bring in a guy who was disengaged and pouting. Like, if you really want to know what's going on, I would imagine nobody knows the Cowboys inside and out like the guy that distanced himself from his teammates. That guy's on top of everything.
He was in a lot of those quarterback meetings.
No, he lived there because he wanted to get some insight as to what he can do to make himself
the
better.
The line is 23 and a half now.
Got it. Do you know what that means? That means
championship.
That means championship. Uh-huh. They got to keep raising the line because everybody's taking the over.
They're going to eventually just stop letting people bet on the Dolphins.
I know.
They keep losing by 40 points.
No, they're going to take them off. But seriously, that line moving like that means everybody is taking the over.
Yeah.
And so they need something to balance it out. And so they're just going to keep jacking the line up. They don't even know. They're like, what is the line to which we can get anybody to take the under? What is it, 30? 31? Can we get anybody to take the under?
Maybe when we have Jerry on, we'll ask him if he'll watch the whole game. Are you going to watch the whole game this week?
Let's ask Jerry what the line would be for him to take the under.
All right, coming up next, Gardner Minshew is a national treasure, and the penalties won't stop. We'll talk about last night's game next.
All right, here's the tweet from Kay Adams of Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. I woke up to Gardner Minshew having the highest passer rating through three games of any rookie in the Super Bowl era. Gardner Minshew mania is at a fevered pitch, my friends. Have you guys seen the shirt that's making the rounds?
Yeah, throwing bombs and
chucking bombs and effing moms.
Mm-hmm.
He really is the guy on Stranger Things.
Yes,
he's the lifeguard.
Yes, he's
spoiler alert.
He's becoming a cult hero. And it's Gardner Flint Minshew II, but I'm not sure that that's what his dad's name is. It's real confusing. I just heard last night they said, well, we wanted to make sure that nobody called him Bubba, but no offense to people who were called Bubba. So they just, their whole family has bits. It's a family of bits. He played for Mike Leach. He's got a crazy mustache, and the world is in love with Gardner Minshew right now.
So somebody named Bubba's like, hey, what in the hell? Oh, no offense. Okay, thank you. None taken.
Want you to meet my mama.
Coming out of high school, he was the 70th best pro-style quarterback in his class. Just a three-star prospect.
Okay, so Leach said, you know, he told us this, that NFL scouts were coming by and talking to him about Minshew, and they were saying, well, how tall is he? And he's like, well, he's exactly as tall as, like, the all-time leading passer in the NFL or whatever, Drew Brees. And, dude, he took, you know, Leach took offense to these questions.
Yeah, he didn't like him, man. He didn't. But, dude, this is, I don't care who you are, and you can be total flash in the pan stuff. It's already impressive. He was a 6th-round pick.
To go play with that arsenal of weapons,
because
that game last night, they had no running game. I mean, Fournette couldn't get anything going on the ground. I mean, it's DJ Chark's, and it's D.D. Westbrook maybe dropping a pass. It's a tight end named O'Shaughnessy. I mean, dude, the weapons are not good there in Jacksonville. You know, again, it's the Titans, but he found a way to make it work, and it's awesome. I'm pulling for it.
And this story just came out about 30 minutes ago that during college, he chugged whiskey and grabbed a hammer and tried to break his own hand to play more football.
What?
Because he wanted to be a medical redshirt. Basically, he was planning on redshirting, and then the backup quarterback moved to running back, and the starter went down. And I guess on Part of My Take, he basically explained how he chugged some Jack Daniels and took a hammer and tried to break his own hand so he could medically redshirt and play more college football.
Please find that audio.
Well, I love this guy. Everybody loves this guy, but people did not love the game last night as we had 15 penalties in the first half. Ben, you'd mentioned that you saw Tom Brady tweeting that he had to turn the game off. But that was, I think, to drink a protein shake. I'm not exactly sure why he had to turn the game
off.
With
electrolytes.
But it does... It's a story of this particular game, but it's also a story of the season so far, and that is there too much laundry being thrown on the field?
Yeah, I saw the graphic during the game that holding calls are up massively, and basically Troy Aikman was losing interest throughout the game. You could tell he was just beaten down by it. Brady's tweet was, I'm turning off this game. I can't watch these ridiculous penalties anymore. Hashtag 10 versus Jack, Tennessee versus Jacksonville. Then he comes back and he's like, too many penalties. Just let us play.
Oh, so he did end up watching it?
Yeah, he bailed.
He bailed.
Because it was 15 penalties or something like
first
that.
First half,
The first half, there was 11 punts. That game sucked to watch.
It did suck to watch, but, you know, I think going in didn't really seem too particularly appetizing. Did you guys see the stat? I'm trying to remember who I saw tweeted out that there's been 23 NFL games where Mariota has not thrown a touchdown pass in those games.
He didn't have a chance last night, though. Yeah, that's the thing. No, I'm with you, and I'm not some supporter for Marcus Mariota.
I always have been. I've always thought he had a chance to be good, but it's kind of hard to argue with a stat like that.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. It's rough, but then you look at 9 times that he was sacked last night, and my takeaway from the game was, okay, if the Jaguars can just get average quarterback play from Minshew, and then if Foles comes back later, that's probably the team to beat. Maybe Houston is. I mean, and then the Colts are a good roster. But if maybe the Titans just suck. But 9 sacks, that's the Jacksonville defense that got him to the NFC, the AFC Championship game 2 years
ago. And I'd like to go ahead and say that I had a bad opinion, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago when I was like, what in the hell are the Texans doing? Why would you give up all those first-round picks and second-round pick and push all your chips in the middle on this year? Well, as it turns out, it was the right year. No Andrew Luck. I mean, if Jacksonville's the second-best team in your division, Houston's in really good shape here.
Hey, I want to go back to these penalties from ESPN Stats and Information. They say in weeks 1 through 2, the first 2 weeks of the season, there were 178 flags for offensive holding. That's a 66% increase year to year.
Lord have mercy.
66% increase. So what is happening here? We know that the league emphasized this and they're pushing this. Why? It's the worst penalty. Well, I guess you say pass interference. But it's like it crushes your drives. Like if there's a holding call, I would love to see the stats to see what percentage of drives are immediately killed when a holding call happens. It's got to be high.
I do know in our small sample size of watching Cowboys stuff, both of the offensive lines they've gone against have been compromised with injuries. I don't know if there's a higher level of injury to start the season. I know there was a lot of talk about people not being able to play during the preseason and getting off to a slow start and some of those kinds of things, but that's a staggering number. That's got to be more official-related than players.
And also, when it's the only game going, you know, when there's 8 games going in the noon window on Sundays and there's a bunch of holdings, okay, in one game, maybe that gets overshadowed. Maybe it's not talked about. The primetime Thursday night game, when we've been talking about quality of play, maybe have an understanding of where the league is and keep the laundry in your pocket.
Do we need it?
The world's watching it.
Do we need it? Why is there an increase in holding calls?
I don't know.
Do you guys feel like, okay, man,
this
product is unwatchable. I need more holding calls.
We need to ask Jerry because I think there's a greater than zero chance it's circumstantial and then it starts correcting back to the mean.
Unless it's blatant, then don't call it.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Yep.
But especially on national TV when all eyes are on you.
I think also here's the other thing, and we talked about this when we were talking about the power rankings. There's not that many good teams, and bad teams commit penalties. So maybe this is the magic year. Maybe this is the year where there's just fewer good teams.
All right, we have that Gardner Minshew audio that Shippy was referring to. Now, where is this from, Ship?
This is from Pardon My Take, Barstool Sports Podcast. So right, here's Gardner Minshew telling that Jack Daniels breaking his own hand story.
So it was back when I was at East Carolina. It was my first year there. I went there from junior college, and the situation was I had 2 seniors above me, so I was hoping to go in redshirt and then be able to play 3. It's an awesome setup, you know? So, we get into about game 4, and we moved our backup to running back because he's our best running back. And then the starter, he got knocked out with concussion. So, shoot, I'm standing there. I go in, play about a half. And then we get in for the next week, and starter's going to be back. So I'm like, dang, man, I just played a half, you know, where I really wasted a year on playing a half ball, you know. So I was pretty pissed. And, man, I started kind of looking around at, like, what I could do, what my options were. And the only thing I could do would be to get a medical redshirt. But if I played in this next game, then that would be off the table. So, you know, I get an idea. I go home. I grab a bottle of Jack Daniels, and I grab a hammer. And go back into my room. I take a pull of Jack Daniels, put my hand down on the table, and boom, 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 1, 2, 3. Hit the hell out of my hand, dude. I'm sitting there shaking, but I know it's not broke, so I'm like, God, come on. take another pull. One, two, three, again. Still nothing. I'm just shaking at this point, man. This is, but I knew it wasn't broken. So one more time, another pull, another three hits, and that was all I could take. I couldn't break my own hand.
God, he is such a Matthew McConaughey character.
What that decision making at quarterback?
He's a mixture of a character McConaughey would play and Uncle Rico. All right, so Ben and Skin Show 105.3 The Fan coming up next. Jerry Jones.
We're standing by for Jerry Jones. It'll be brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Whoop, whoop. And I believe we have him now. Mr. Jones, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, man, I'm doing great, and it's a great Friday. Getting ready to go to practice, and so we're just getting ready for these Miami Dolphins. You know, I'm a little amused sometimes when I hear about all these point spreads. I'm not even supposed to use point spread, but when I hear about these point spreads, and I do remember that most of the guys we're going to be playing Sunday for Miami are players that we would have wanted on the Cowboys. That when they were coming out in the draft, when they have been at various stages of their career, most of them are that, and that's the NFL. You're usually playing guys, you're playing players that are same caliber of players that you're lining up with them against.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why it's tough to figure all that stuff out. Those games usually end up being closer than you thought, but there is a lot of talk out there about tanking, and the NBA has ways to deal with that. Do you have any thoughts on how you guys could handle tanking in the NFL?
No, I don't, it just goes against the nature of what you try to do in so many ways. You don't play as many games as you do in other sports, and so every game means so much. And just put it this way, it'll be a percent of somebody's career or a player's career. And so the idea that you wouldn't go out there and be at your tops, play at your tops, be at your competitive best, put the team out there, just is so against anything that your whole structure's about. I don't see real tanking. Now you say, well, you just don't play them. How about if you get to the playoffs and you're in and you don't want to play those players? Well, you can do it just simply by not putting them out there. But because of the limited amount of players you've got to play a football game, that's hard to do as well.
You know, bringing that up, Jerry, you guys are in collective bargaining agreement talks now. There's talks about expanding the season, some of the things like that. You know the stories that are out there. Do you foresee, if you guys go in that direction, for all the reasons you just laid out, expanding the roster significantly?
No, I don't. I think that you can probably make available more of your practice squad players. There's a way to increase that viability as it brings on. That's the bottom of your roster. And, of course, for you fans who aren't quite as familiar with the practice squad, it's a group of 10 players that you have restrictions to bring up and back off your main roster. But every time you do, you expose them to, as a matter of fact, they're exposed anyway, but you note that they're at least good enough to have played in a game. So you probably expose them to the overall other 31 teams. I see some tinkering around in that area, and I don't want to use that word cavalierly, but I see that we're talking about several things that might adjust that. That might create a little better roster viability during the season.
Jerry, obviously things didn't work out with Taco. He's now a Miami Dolphin, and you guys have drafted exceedingly well, so nobody's really out there throwing shade at your scouting and drafting and development. It is just odd that you guys did miss on this first-round pick. What would you say you guys missed in your evaluation of Taco?
Well, first of all, I agree with you. It's a miss, and you can't have your number one draft pick that 3 years later for talent reasons or for compatibility reasons just not make it. I think we've always got to realize that the motivation, we depend on motivation. The game does. The game's exciting because it requires something more than just talent. You've got to be unique to even play in the NFL, talent standpoint, but still, it requires a really extended motivation. When you're in the defensive line, it asks for more of you than the other positions in terms of being motivated, in terms of fighting through. Just the nature of the activity in the defensive line suggests fighting through. But you're usually fighting through pain. You're fighting through really serious obstacles called those big offensive linemen. And so that you've got to absolutely be eating raw meat to be a defensive lineman in my mind. And you get there a lot of different ways. Individuals do it a lot of different ways. But for whatever the reason, that area of Taco, and it had as much to do with his own disappointment, his own feeling that he can do better. I've seen him do a rep at practice, saw it this year, training camp, and when he didn't get there, he just wilted. It just looked like it impacted everything that he was going to do for the rest of the practice. And you say, well, I can correct that if you're a coach, or I can correct that if you're a manager. But on the other hand, you've got to get it done. Well, how that is done, how he deals with that, that can be in the future. Tom Landry used to say, don't ever give up on a defensive lineman for 3 years.
But then, go ahead, Jerry, I'm sorry.
So that's pretty much it. I think... maybe a change of scenery is the answer.
Okay, so Jerry, that seems to me to be one of the most difficult things to scout, the intangible of not knowing how someone is going to deal with that inevitable failure that happens when you first get to the league. How do you scout that?
Well, I'm sorry, I may not have gotten the last part of that question, but most of the time, if they're lined up in those spots, that's a given that they're going to just be... from a mental standpoint, and they approach it different ways, but that they're going to be mentally driven, going to be goal-oriented, and they get a lot of wins out of simply having a technique work for them, and they can get kept away from the quarterback, but they can still have a win. You got to work mind games to do that, and maybe Taco will get there someday.
Jerry, holding calls are up significantly. I read this morning they're up like 66% from this time last year through the first 2 weeks. Last night, Tom Brady tweeted that he had to check out of the game because the refs were ruining it for him. Troy Aikman on the broadcast seemed to be just beaten down by all the holding calls. Why are there so many more holding calls, and do you think it's hurting the game through the first 2 weeks?
I don't have a reason. I think we're pretty grounded in what a hold can be, and when it's meaningful, and what it looks like when you actually throw that flag, and there's no doubt about it. It always has been one of the more subjective, believe it or not, subjective areas. And you're allowed to grab. You're allowed to. It's the length of time you hold on in many cases. Or you're allowed to let those limbs get out there, curl around, but then you need to have demonstrated that you've moved back away from it as the next instances of the play occur. All of those kinds of things are judgment. And I know that it's real important to us that we come to common ground with our officials that just what we're trying to get done out there, and that is... we're trying to put a game on, and the continuity of the game, unless there's injury potential involved, and make a case holding can lead to more injury, but that's probably a little bit of a reach in that particular area. We've got to really come back with an overall appreciation for what the continuity of the game means to really performance levels. And I would agree, we've always continually looked at this area, this interior line play especially. And we've always measured that and always had a debate there with it. Maybe we swung too far.
Yeah, people don't like punts and people don't like penalties. So I guess the other question is, is pass interference and is holding, are those penalties too punitive? Do you guys need to change that?
Well, we've always had a punitive pass interference when you take the ball to the point of the foul.
Right.
That is punitive relative to college. And it certainly opens the game up. But there are many ways to, with rule and certainly penalty calling, that you can dictate how the game is played. I'll never forget one that wasn't necessarily with penalties, but the great Lamar Hunt used to want a smaller roster size because players played tired more. And certainly they got tired quicker or they were tired at the end of the game. That's when you have bigger plays. It's a more exciting game when you're playing with tired. So he was almost for a two-way, without talking to Lamar, he was almost for a two-way player because it made for a more exciting game. You really get into a lot of different nuances when you start thinking about how you're going to officiate.
Okay, let's we lost Mr. Jones. Let's try to reconnect with him, Shippy, if we could. Let's try to reconnect with
guys.
Oh, we got him. Okay, Mr. Jones, I believe we have
okay,
you.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. We got you again.
But anyway, I guess I was talking about Lamar Hunt, and he was always for basically reducing the roster size because players had to play both ways potentially, and they got tired. And when you're tired, you have big plays, more exciting game. So there was a way to look at it.
No doubt. That's a good way to look at it. We're talking to Jerry Jones on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Hey, I want to get your thoughts as a marketer. You're one of the greatest marketers on the planet. And so let's say that you get a big contract worked out with Dak, or let's just call it, say you get a contract worked out with Dak. And we're not saying one's worked out, but when would be the best time to announce that? Would it be on a Sunday? How does that it work with the NFL news cycle, in your expert opinion?
I think that we've always thought that Friday was a day to basically have lesser viewers. This Saturday, the early part of the weekend, is when you don't have as much attention. But that's the best I can do there. For the most part, when the Cowboys are involved in it, it usually gets out there. And of course, the new way, not the new way, but the social media way of communicating and creating information, creating ways to present the information, that's changed the whole game. And so I really don't have any thoughts there. I like them all. I wouldn't want to waste any day ultimately in this day and time, because it bleeds over into the next day, or it has a way of bleeding over into the next week. So once it's out there, you're going to get a lot of people aware of it. The Cowboys don't have that issue.
Jerry, it seems like your defensive line's a little dinged up right now. The Tyrone Crawford news about his hips. Are you guys worried at all about your line and level of play at the defensive line right now?
Well, we came out of training camp. First of all, we went to training camp with more players than we've ever had at the defensive line position. And then we came out of training camp with some great players, and I'm starting to say prospects, but great players. And so as unlikely as it is, when you start having an injury or two, it's usually where you don't have your depth. Well, with us, we're deep in the defensive line. We're deep with guys that can play. That had a lot to do with our decision with Charlton, simply because we've got such depth there, and we think help is on the way. And we've got some guys that aren't playing other than Charlton that are capable of playing in a winning way in NFL games right now. And so we're in good shape there.
So yesterday, Dak was wearing boots in the locker room, and we thought we'd like to talk to you about things that aren't really sports-related. So what is your strategy when it comes to wearing boots, and how many pairs do you have, and when do you wear those pairs?
Well, I did notice that Dak had a new pair of boots, and I thought that was a great story that went with it. But years ago, I had boots that I had before I bought the Cowboys, and I love to wear them. And they're pretty stylish, too. And I've always kept my boots. And when I first got to town 30 years ago, almost every time I'd speak, well, I'd get presented with a pair of boots. And many of them were really done in a neat way. They'd have a special feature on them that had something to do with the Cowboys. So over the years, I've accumulated a fabulous collection. I don't think I could start wearing cowboy boots almost by the day, and I believe I'd be June before I wore the same boot twice.
Still, Jerry, having said that, have you ever been jealous of another man's boots?
Of course. Of course. I'm asking people all the time, where did you get those boots? Who made those? Or how did you get them? And it makes me feel good. I'm asked where I got the boots that I have on. And I'm a big cowboy boot fan. I wear them with dress clothes. I wear them every way you can think of.
And we also have we know you're up against it time wise. We also love talking to you guys about hot dogs. Y'all love hot dogs. Don't you? You guys love hot dogs. We love hot dogs. So
absolutely.
What's the best hot dog you ever had, and what's your personal hot dog strategy? How do you make them?
Well, we've gone from boots to hot dogs. There's got to be a connection in here someplace. I don't want to know what's coming up next. I do know that I don't know that I would have been here for my time in sports and my time going to games. I know it would have been without a hot dog, but it would have been a lot less important to me. But I love hot dogs. I'm going to a high school game tonight and eat one of the best hot dogs at Highland Park Stadium that you'll ever eat. And but you know, they're just like everything else, they come in all sizes and all flavors. And I guess if I were going to critique something, it would be the bun. I don't like much bun. And so when I see a great bun treatment, that does impress me. In the New York Yankees, George Steinbrenner's and now Hal Steinbrenner and the family's box, and I get to go up there for a World Series, or I get to go up there for an opening day if it hits right. They have the neatest bun warmer, and those hot dogs are almost as thin as the thin slices of bread that you can get if you're not trying to eat a lot of bun or bread. So, boy, they do a great job with that, and it's just almost like a folded slice of bread. And they put that on there, and I bet every time I bite into one, I say, well, boy, I can just picture George Steinbrenner biting into this one.
Oh, it's awesome.
That's great. Well, Jerry, unfortunately, we ran out of time before we could talk about mustaches, but maybe we'll get to that next week. Thank you for the time. Have a great weekend. Hey, we'll talk to you later, man.
You know the old adage about mustaches. Letting something grow tame around your mouth that goes wild around your is not necessary.
Jerry, we love you. We wish these interviews were an hour long each time. Thanks for your time, brother. We appreciate it.
We'll see you guys.
Your best interviews in sports.
It's pretty damn good every time.
God, he's greatness.
So many bun warmer drops.